Welcome in. It's about time to get started. It's a beautiful day to serve the Lord. The choir is a little thin today. It's still not too late if you want to come and sing. But let's take the Heavenly Highway hymns and turn to number 139. Number 139.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out for our service today. I hope you've gotten a blessing sometime during this week. Actually, I hope you got a blessing every day this week. Is what I hope that you have done. We talked a lot about blessings, I think, in a roundabout way in our Sunday school lesson this week or today. And it takes a little bit of effort if you really want a good spiritual blessing. That is my favorite kind of blessing. Now, the normal blessings. What is your normal blessings? Well, I woke up this morning. I was able to breathe just a little bit today. I put one foot in front of another. That's our normal blessings. But I'm going to tell you, if you really want a good spiritual blessing, and to me, those are the very best blessings there is, when you get those spiritual blessings. You know, the kind that gets to bubbling up in our hearts. Sometimes it even affects this part of our face, you know. And it's just a wonderful feeling that we get from the Lord that is truly something to be asking God for. But it takes a little bit of effort, and that's what we was talking about today, pressing toward the mark. being like Christ and talking to people. Brother Fabian brought it up in our lesson today, being like Paul, just to be like him. I'm not on that same level, I have to say that. But if we could all be just half of what Paul was and being more like Christ, then we would get a great big spiritual blessing that I believe that we would all enjoy very much. And I want you to think about that today. If you want that blessing that you remember feeling some time ago, and what I'm talking about started out when you got saved, you know, you felt the joy of your salvation within you. Then later on, maybe you joined the church and you knew God was pleased with you in that, and you just felt that inside of you. And then later on, maybe you testified a little bit for the Lord, or you asked somebody to church, and you know, you get that feeling with each little action that you do for God, that He blesses you in a spiritual way, and He'll bless you in physical ways also. And I just want you to remember those great blessings. And then I'm going to use a word that is usually put towards a sinful way. He tells us not to covet, but covet means desire wrongfully. But covet itself is not bad if we're wishing or desiring a good thing. We aren't to covet the desire to feel those blessings from the Lord. That's what He wants us to do. And if we covet it, if we want to feel those blessings, you know, we'll start to do more for the Lord. And you might say, well, I don't know if I really want to do that. You're missing out on some wonderful things, is what I'll say to you today. You're missing out on some wonderful blessings coming upon you. I need to hush. We'll go on about our service. It's good to see each and every one with us today. Good to have our visitors with us, like always. And we just appreciate anybody that's visiting with us here at the church. And our crowds are down. Different ones are traveling. But hopefully before long, everybody get their traveling done, we'll be able to be all together once again in the house of the Lord. And won't that be a wonderful thing for us all to do? It's good to see everybody today. We want to go on about our service. We want to go to Children's Church. Kids, I've got a new one for you today. Brother Stewart's going to be doing it. So everybody come with Brother Stewart this morning. Which side you going, Brother Stewart?
Either side, doesn't matter. Let's go to this side right here. Good morning, good morning. How are each of you this morning? I want to begin by thanking each one of you, because many of you were here for Sunday school. And I want you to be the example to a lot of us here, that everybody that's here should be in Sunday school every Sunday morning so that they can learn some things that are done in Sunday school. I'm going to talk to you today about what we talked about in our Sunday school class, and it was having the mindset of Jesus Christ, thinking like Jesus. And I'm going to use an example for you, and I want you to kind of tell me, do you know what that is right there? You have any idea? That is a dandelion. And I've told the adults before in here that I have a story about the dandelion. You don't like them? Well, I'm going to tell you a story that may change your mind, because we're talking about, not only am I going to talk about dandelions today, I'm going to teach you a word, a new word, and it's called perspective. And sometimes we can change our mind just by the perspective that we have. And the story that I'm going to tell you about, which I've talked to the adults about before, is my perspective on dandelions. When I mow the grass, I used to hate dandelions. It just drive me crazy. I'd get out there and mow, and they'd, of course, blow everywhere, and there'd be more of them and more of them come up every spring. And it just made me so mad. So I was telling my wife about that one day, and she said, oh, you mean those wishes? And she's from a different part of the country, and I've never heard them called wishes before. I always had them called dandelions, but I knew that if you held it up and blew it, that you could make a wish. But she called them wishes. And every one of those little things that are detached from it is a wish. And you know what? That changed my perspective. It changed the way I looked at things. I went out in the yard then and looked around and I thought, look at all the wishes I have in my yard. So much so that when I don't have dandelions now, it's like, well, why's everybody else got all those wishes and I don't have them anymore? So that is kind of what we're talking about. You know that your perspective and the way you act and the way you behave in front of others can change their perspective. I want you to constantly be thinking about having a mind like Jesus. And if you go about living your life thinking about Jesus and how you act and that you act like Jesus, then you're more than likely going to change someone's perspective about how they think about Jesus. And that's powerful. That's powerful that you can take someone who doesn't really care about Jesus and you can change them into looking at Jesus in a new and entirely different way. So when you hear somebody talking about dandelions from this day forward, or about you see them in the yard, you think about that can be a wish, and that can change your perspective by the way that you look at them. But more importantly, use your life as an example and change the perspective of those around you to love Christ more than they have in the past. Thank you all so much for being here with us this morning. You may go back to your seat. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Stewart. A good lesson. May we all change the perspective of others that are about us. And if we'll strive to be like Christ, we can change more people than we think we will. And I hope and pray that we will strive for that. Good to see everybody here today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request upon your heart this morning? We had several in our Sunday school class this morning, and I'm not going to mention all of them. I will mention that a preacher friend of mine passed away this week, and I didn't know it until they buried him yesterday. Brother Leon White passed away. Yes, Brother Tim, he passed away this week. And Brother Tim was talking to me about him just a week or so ago, and Brother Tim grew up around him, and I was sorry to hear about Brother Leon passing. He was a good, faithful warrior for the cause. And I want you to remember that church where that he attended, Old Paths in Lebanon. It's small in number, like the Old Paths over here in Smyrna. But remember both of those churches and pray that the Lord will bless them, that they might grow. For that church, they lost a great helper for that church. And so do remember them in your prayers this morning. Somebody else have a prayer request on your heart this morning? I'm going to mention one other. I didn't mention this in Sunday school, but Paul and I attended a wedding yesterday. How many of you ever went to a wedding of a missionary Baptist preacher? One, two, three, not many. Don't happen very often. Most time a missionary Baptist preacher is already married when he is called to preach. But Brother Noah Murray got married yesterday. He preached for us a few months ago here at Murfreesboro, good young preacher. Do remember them, him and his new bride. I'm going to put it simply, that woman don't know what she got into. Am I right, Miss Ruth? the young lady and he need your prayers. It's not an easy thing when that a preacher tells he's called to preach and his family follows along. But it's not easy when a young lady chooses to marry a preacher either. So do remember them in your prayers. I hope and pray that it'll be a productive marriage, one that God will bless greatly. So do remember them in your prayers tonight, today also. Somebody else have a prayer request on your heart? Appreciate everybody being here today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer, and I hope you'll ask the Lord to help me today. If it's the Lord's will that I stand, that He'll help me to say what I need to say in this day. Let's be prayerful one for another. Brother Slick, would you mind leading us in prayer at this time? Everybody pray, though, in your own way.
Let's go to number 300, the top of the page, number 300.
Fabian. Thank you, Brother Fabian. Thank you, Sister Rachel. I got it right this time. Last week, I done like I usually do. I messed up. And I apologized to Sister Rachel afterwards. She said, I knew it was coming. She said, I laughed about it. I deserved it. It's the best way to put it. But old folks have that tendency sometimes to just draw a blank sometimes, and I got it right today. So good morning, everybody. I hope you've had a good week. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart this morning? It's good to see. Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, bless your heart, Sister Barbara. Appreciate this good testimony. If you didn't hear, she said she had a birthday in July, but she had the birthday of getting saved this past week. And that's a good one to remember. Her husband wasn't saved when she got when they got married, but he got saved at age 25. And then the Lord called him to preach, and I do remember him well, and miss him not being here. But I'm glad Miss Barbara's with us, though, and thankful for this. Somebody else got something on your heart, word of testimony or anything? Anybody at all? We always want you to follow the Lord in every service. If the Lord asked you to testify, please do it. If he asked you to stand up and just raise your hand, do that. That's not much, is it? That's not much. So let's follow the Lord. Anybody got anything on your heart? Go to Deuteronomy, first chapter. I'll give you just a few minutes to get there. We have a long reading lesson, so bear with us this morning. But the book of Deuteronomy is basically what I would almost say the highlights of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. I'll call it highlights. It summarizes it. And Moses did put in some things that were not included in those books, but he brought them out in a good way. As far as the first four books, I'll say of the books of Moses, as far as Exodus through Deuteronomy, I have to say Deuteronomy is my favorite one. But I'm going to try to bring a message today, and it's going to come out of this first chapter. If you want to look with us and read along with us, go to verse 19. Like I said, I've got a long reading lesson, so bear with us. And when we departed from Horeb, that's where they received the law, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Bear, and I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. For ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the same pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, in other words, they said, you decided not, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the Lord, the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hath hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we, and the cities are great and walled up to heaven, and moreover, we have seen the sons of Anak there. By the way, they were the ones they considered to be giants. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. Now that's our reading lesson. That's reading verses 19 through verse 33 for our reading lesson. Like I said, it's a long one. I hope you kind of got the gist of how that Moses condensed their travel from Mount Horeb down to the land of Canaan that they were to take over. This was the time in which that they came up to the, what we'll say, the borders of the land that they were going to capture and that they were going to take. Now, you'll notice in that last verse that it said that there was a cloud by day and a fire, a pillar of fire by night that led them. This is symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God. You'll find it written in the 13th chapter of the book of Exodus, where that God showed them this the very first time. It was actually even before the crossing of the Red Sea. But if you'll notice in our reading lesson, he said, he led you by this pillar of fire that you might know where to camp, where that you might know which way to go. In other words, they did not really need somebody. And what I'm going to use is an old Western type of term. They didn't need a scout to go out before them to figure out where the best places were to camp or where to cross a river or where the mountains maybe were not as tall that they could go through. They didn't need that scout. God was leading them. Now, if you'll go back in our early portion, you'll notice that the people said, we need to send up spies or people that they might go in and search out the land to know where we need to go first. If they'd have been following the Lord like they should have been, and the Spirit was still with them, that pillar of fire and the cloud by night, they was still there. If they'd been paying attention to it, it was still there, and it would have still led them, and they wouldn't have had to spy it out. Now, you know what happened. They went in there, and 10 of those men that went in came back and said, we can't take it. Joshua and Caleb, the other two, said, by the power of God, we can go in, and we can take it. Now, I'm going to get to my message here in just a second. I want you to go look at verse 29, and this is where our thought's going to come from today. Verse 29, it says, "Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them." Now, in this today, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you know what it is to dread something? How many of you got, when your alarm clock or when you realized it was morning this morning, you dreaded just getting out of bed? How many of you from time to time, "Oh, I dread going to work today"? Maybe for the kids, it's, "Oh, I dread school today. I dread having schoolwork. I dread that test. I dread it so much. I just can't hardly stand it." I've heard individuals in times past that have said it made them sick because of their dread of something. They dreaded it so much. What dread actually is, it is a fear that comes upon an individual that causes them to not want to go forward, not wanting to go about and doing the things that they need to do. I've went into places in my life and I dreaded it, but the actual, what actually happened, I got the job done when I went right on past that dread. Moses told the children of Israel, he said, "Dread not, neither be afraid of them." Now, if you go back up and you look at that 28th verse, he said, "Why are you discouraged? You've already saw what God has done." Yes, those people don't think that they are greater, that they are taller than you, that they're stronger than you, and why are you worried about them? I've got a question for you today. How many of you has somebody that you're afraid to speak to? There's a few of you that never sees a stranger, right? You can speak to anybody and everybody, but there's usually one person, "Oh, I couldn't talk to them, especially about the Lord." You know, you've got those individuals. For most of us, there's more than one individual in that list. You've kind of got it in your mind, "Well, they're too rich for me to talk to. They're smarter than I am. They've got more strength in their lives than I do, and I just can't say a word to them about the Lord." Now, this was what Moses was dealing with as far as the children of Israel were concerned going into the land of Canaan here at this point in time. They were looking at a people that, "Oh, they're taller than I am." Most of you are taller than I am. I can't go with that excuse, can I? Some of them were saying, "Oh, they're much mightier than we are. They're stronger than I am. I can't go up and fight against those kind of people. I can't speak to those individuals." This was what Moses was dealing with in that day. I'm going to ask you a question. Do we deal with that today ourselves? Yeah, we do. We have in our minds that there's individuals out there that we just can't speak to. We can't invite them to church. We might look at them, and I forgive me if I bother somebody. They might have blue hair. They might have a ring. They might have tattoos somewhere. And we say, "We just can't have them in our church." My friends, they need to be in church. They need to be in church. And we need to invite them into the house of the Lord. You know, many times we hear individuals that are talking about God and talking about their churches and such, and we know that it's not scriptural what they're teaching, and we think, well, it wouldn't do any good for us to talk to them about the Lord. They wouldn't listen to us. But you never know when it will do some good. Now, drop down just a little bit in this lesson here. And he says, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, keep that in mind today. The Lord your God, is he your God today? He is. He should be. The Lord your God goes before you today. Keep that in mind. Whenever that the Lord is impressing, whenever he's got that pillar of fire in front of you, whenever he's got that cloud right up there that is showing you that individual that needs you right then and there, he is showing that he is there with you in that day. Notice he says, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. I want you to keep that in mind today. The Lord is going to help you in that day. The Lord is going to fight for you. I'm going to put it in this way. Usually, I have found myself, whenever that I have been led to speak to individuals about God, about their souls, or maybe about church, I've found that the Lord has already been working on them on the other side. He's already fought that battle for us. He's already talking with them. He's already impressing upon them their failures, their needs that they have. It is for us to remember that God is fighting the real battle himself. He's just using us as one of the soldiers. He is impressing upon us to fall in line and fight the battle, is what he is wanting us to do. Notice what he says here again. He said, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. What did the Lord do for them there in Egypt? What did they witness in that day? Turn over to the 7th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses gives it a little bit more detailed in this verse here. And he says, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispose them? What he means is, how can I conquer them? How can we do these things? Because they're more than us. Well, the world, as far as we're concerned, we've always been a minority to follow the true God. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, yeah, they was a couple million of them, but compared to everybody else, they was a remnant, was all they was. We as the Lord's church today, I want you to realize something. You're just a small portion in comparison to the world. But you might say, well, because that I am a small portion, or we are a small portion, what's the sense of fighting against them? He said unto them, he said, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all of Egypt. Now, I've told you before, Egypt always is a symbolic sign of sin. It is. Now, Pharaoh, he was the worker of sin, Satan himself. But remember what God did to Pharaoh and to Egypt for the children of Israel's sake. What did he do? He conquered them. He sent a plague. Well, that was God doing that, right? Yeah, it was God doing that. When you got saved, did you do that or did God do that? God did it. We can't save ourselves. There's nothing about us that is really holy in the eyes of God. So it's important for us to remember God did that for us. What did he do for our sins? There's a song out right now that it says, and that God put it out into the depths, took my sin and put it in the depths of the ocean. That scripture actually is where that comes from. And it says, he put my sins in the depths of the ocean of forgetfulness. And it's not to be remembered anymore. That's the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life is the day that I got saved. The day in which that I was born into the family of God. But there's been many more good days in my life. I'm talking about spiritual days since that time. And what I mean by that, those days in which that I was able to fight with the Lord. You know, a lot of people, when they'll talk about doubting their salvation, they'll say, well, all I've got to do is run my salvation back to the day in which that I got saved and the devil can't take me no farther. I agree with you. He cannot. I've done that many a times. But I can also remember the days, and I'll use this as an example. I remember the day when a couple kids got saved right here. And that blessing, oh, I knew it came from God. And the devil really can't get me to go past that. Do you have a time in your life when God spiritually blessed you in such a way and you say, yep, that was God in that day? See, what the Lord was, or Moses was trying to get them to do, he said, don't be afraid of them, but thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did. Remember what he did for you. You remember when he saved your kids' souls? I do. I remember them. I remember Heather when she got saved. I remember when Patrick told us about him being saved. I remember Christy when she told us about being saved. I remember them. But not only those, but I remember countless other individuals. I remember times when that God just worked something in my presence. You know, I've got a man, and Miss Ruth would know him if I called him by name. We call him a man that's like a cat. He's got 9 lives. He's been on death's door 8 or 10 times, it feels like. I keep saying he's going to run out of life sooner or later. The Lord's going to carry him home. He had an emergency here a few weeks ago. They carried him to the hospital. They thought he was dying again. Guess where he was 2 nights later? He was in church. I see things like that, and I remember God's power. You've had somebody like that, haven't you? Remember those things. He said, why would you dread all of these things when that you've got a great big God on your side? He's there to help you in that day. Now, I don't know what you have to do today. I don't know what you've got to do in the coming week. But I'm satisfied there is a dread that is within you that's saying, I just don't know if I can do that or not. But God will help you. He sure will. I'm going to ask you something. Who is the bravest man that you ever heard of? Man, woman. Who's the bravest one you ever heard of? Think about that for a second. Oh, we've got soldiers that have been, oh man, they was so brave. I like to read about Alvin York. He came from up here at Jamestown, Tennessee. He was a conscientious objector. He didn't want to carry a gun into battle. He didn't want to fight in World War I. And when he went into battle in that day, do you know what he did? He ended up being the highest decorated soldier of World War I. You know what he did? At that moment in time, he saw his fellow soldiers being killed, and he decided that it was their lives or the enemy's lives. Are we going today to decide, is it my children that's going to survive and go to heaven? Is it my friend that's going to survive and go to heaven? Or am I going to be too afraid of them? Are you dreading speaking to them? Are you dreading just standing up to them? I want to ask you something. In the circumstances of fear, we usually say it takes bravery to stand up in the place of fear. You know, I've often thought when we were standing in church and you know, they talk about how that individuals will come in and they'll start to kill people in churches or anything. I've often wondered, what would I do here at this pulpit if I seen somebody coming through the door? What would I do? I don't know. I know what I'd like to think I'd do. I'd like to think I'd defend every single one of you. That's what I'd like to think I'd do. I don't think that I would hide in under a bench for you. How much bravery does it take to do something great for an individual? I've got friends that they use this term. It takes 8 seconds of bravery to do something great. 8 seconds? Now, I've watched rodeo riders for years get on the back of a great big old bull, and they try to ride him for 8 seconds. My opinion, it takes more than 8 seconds. It takes a lot of dumbness in my part to see them riding a bull that's 2,000 pounds. To me, that's a lot of dumbness in my opinion. But they have a braveness about them that they get on that thing and ride. I want to ask you something. How much bravery did it take them? Enough to start. Enough to stand up. How much bravery did it take for Alvin York to stand up for his brothers in arms there in that field there in Germany that day? How much bravery does it take for us to stand up for God today? How much bravery, how much time does it take for you to do it? Just a few seconds. Just a few seconds is really all it is. Not even 8 seconds worth. You can say 5 seconds if you really want to get down to it. It's just that little point of a time where you get past that point of going in. Now, the children of Israel, when they were there at Canaan's land, and those men, they had made up their minds, we cannot win the battle. They went to that place. They said, we can't win this. We've got to go back. God, Moses said, remember what the Lord did for you there in Egypt. He brought them out with a mighty hand. Through many of those plagues, you know, when it was eaten away at the Egyptian people, it wasn't touching the children of Israel. There was a division in them. When they got to the Red Sea, and it looked like that Pharaoh was going to run them over, kill every one of them. You know what he did? God divided the Red Sea for them. They went across in dry ground. What did he do? When the Egyptians started through, it closed up. And God won a great victory. When they got over and got ready to leave Mount Horeb and they needed water to drink, what did God do? He told Moses to strike a rock and it brought forth water and it fed over a million people for a long, long period of time. Your God is fighting with you. How much bravery does it take to get past dread? How much did it take for you? You know, We talked about it a little bit this morning, and Brother Stewart was talking about going to the altar was awful for him. And I quoted Brother Barry, and I said I didn't have the right words. But Brother Barry, in our revival, he said that thing, and I think this is the wrong word, but I'm going to use it, monster to him. The right word? I did have it right. Okay, good. He said that altar was a monster to him. If you had a monster in front of you right now, a dragon, we'll say, a big old fire-breathing dragon was standing right in front of you today, could you stand up to him? Could you fight a battle to protect someone? Could you fight a battle to save your life? You know, I find there was a man in the Bible that killed a lion. You know, a big old lion? He went into a pit with a lion and killed him with his hands. How much bravery does that take? Do you know that man probably had a little bit of dread to him? Lord, what's going to happen when I go in here with him? Or when he comes in here with me? What am I going to do? First of all, I want you to think about your children. Maybe in some of your cases, maybe it's what you need to do for your friends. Maybe it's a stand that you need to make for the Lord some way or another. Maybe when the kids get into school and there's individuals that maybe are saying things that are against God, how much bravery would it take for you to stand up against them and say, I believe in God. I believe in that God you're running down. How much bravery would it take? Oh yeah, there's dread there. I've been there. I've been there for sure. I've been around people that I knew they was going to pick a religious fight with me. They wanted to talk about the Bible and their doctrine, and I knew they knew more scripture than I did. They'd been taught it, and I dreaded getting around them. But I've always found that the Lord was right there with me. And he helped me. Who is that person that you're afraid of today? Maybe it's a group of people. Hey, it may be us. Maybe you're afraid of us. Don't be afraid of us. Summing up that 8 seconds of bravery to follow the Lord, and you'll gain more strength than you'll ever imagine ever finding. You will. Because just as that Spirit of God led them through the wilderness by that fire and by that cloud, he'll lead you. He'll give you words to say. He'll make it easy for you. He'll make it where that you can speak to them. He'll make it where that you'll have wisdom that you didn't realize you had. You'll have common sense. You'll have God's common sense. And you'll win the battle. Oh, yeah, they may be taller than you. They may be mightier. They may be smarter in many ways. But you got God. And as the saying goes, old preacher said one time, me and God is a majority. I like to say it this way, God's a majority. When you got God on your side, you've got everything today. All right, what are you dreading? Who are you dreading talking to? Who have you been putting it off for? Think about it. Now I'm going to close it out with this, Brother Fabian. You can go ahead and get ready to sing. I want you to think about it in this way. If it's somebody lost, what if they'd have died between the last time you had that thought and now? Where would they be? Maybe it's a church member that needs to come back to the house of the Lord. Where would they be if we spoke and they died? Maybe it's just a friend that needs help. Why are you dreading it? Is what Moses said. While we stand and sing, summon up the bravery to speak the words of God unto individuals, unto whoever it may be. You follow the Lord today. If you've been saved, you do what God lays upon your heart. If you're lost today, summon up the bravery to seek out God today before it's everlasting too late. While we stand and sing.
Scene number 207. If you're dreading coming to the altar, just remember that the Lord will meet you there. I promise. Yeah.